1 Peter chapter 2. I don't feel great tonight, so if you're a praying type person, pray. We're going to try to get to verse 10 if we can. I don't think what I have is catching, but that's one reason I'm not shaking hands with people and stuff. But 1 Peter chapter 2. I felt great. Well, I felt awful yesterday, or the day before yesterday, I can't remember. And felt good most of the day today, and then about an hour ago, something happened. I don't know what it was, but while you're turning to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, let's pray. Heavenly Father, just use us tonight as a vessel. Let us decrease as you increase. Speak through us your word. And let us be better Christians when we walk out of here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The theory or the reason we got into 1 Peter, or the first epistle from Peter, was to be better Christians. I got a flood maybe about a month ago of people visiting me and talking with me and talking about their struggle of maybe losing some ground as a Christian, maybe not reading as much, not praying as much, really struggling in some areas. And I told them, you know, that's totally normal to a certain degree. It's just, you know, that's the reason we have the Scriptures. That's the reason we have a prayer life. That's the reason we have a Holy Spirit. That's the reason we have an intercessor of Jesus Christ to help us, you know, to regain that. But I wanted you to understand that being saved also is like being in a marriage. When you first get saved, it's a lot of passion, love. You're chasing after Jesus, and He chased after you, and it's a lot of it's you know just you know fire, you know excitement, and you're telling and you're saying things, And you're trying to get, you know, you're trying to get your, mate, you, everything's just, you don't know a whole lot, you just sharing from your heart. But then as you move on, it's just like in a marriage relationship. You had kids, you had a job, you had responsibilities, you had a mortgage, bills, relationship issues, and you find out that, you know, what you loved about the person and what Jesus loved about you was great. But there was some other stuff in there that all didn't get worked out. You got some personality stuff still in you that God's going to work out. And He's going to do that. But what I'm saying, though, is when you're dealing with that and God's dealing with you in this salvation, then guess what? That's the same deal. When you start walking in, all of a sudden, some of your old characteristics, they're not old. They're just who you are. They've not been put on the cross yet. They've been forgiven. You're forgiven. You're saved. But you got to work through those things. And you know what? Some of those things will come back, and then you start adding ministry and personalities and churches and everything else. You've got a lot of stuff going on. Next thing you know, you can find yourself, wait a minute, I don't feel like I used to feel as a Christian. I'm not as excited. I'm not on, you know, are you tracking where I'm going with this? And so there the epistles are written, not for unbelievers, but for believers. Especially these we're reading right here. Peter is to believers. The gospels are for lost people to hear the gospel. It's for us to share. It's for us to understand and learn from. But it's also mostly for people that don't know what the gospel is to hear it. This is for believers. And we found out that we're redeemed people in chapter 1. And we find out we're redeemed by the blood of Christ, all right? And we disembark, we leave chapter 1 in verse 25 with this right here. It says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Now we're going to go right into chapter 2, verse 1, but I want to give you some context that this first verse is not there by accident. Okay? It's not there by accident. Because God said His Word will endure. What we knew what Peter knew and what the Holy Spirit knew is we would have the Word of God. Amen? They had the Word of God they held with their hands. We have the Word of God where we read from the Scripture and was led by the Holy Spirit. All right? So what I want you to understand on the other side of this is, he writes this because verse 1 is very possible for a Christian. Are you tracking? Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years in his earthly ministry, watched him be crucified, watched him be buried, watched him be resurrected, was there the day of Pentecost, okay? So then he pins this in chapter 2, verse 1, because he knows it's absolutely necessary for us to do, where we can latch on to and extrapolate. Boy, Gary, write that down. I used the word extrapolate, okay? Yeah, I'm sorry. It means where we can take the information and utilize it, okay? Or we can break it down, okay? So listen to what he says right here. We're going to have this Word of God. So it's necessary if you want to have this on fire relationship. And if it ever starts to dwindle down, there's some reasons why it's dwindled down. And if we start laying these things off, we'll start to see the fire come back. Y'all good? Are you understanding what I just said? I'll say it again because that if you apply this and you start laying those off, the fire that was once quenched or dwindled down will start to come back. Okay? Thank you. Did you hear it and understand it? Okay, good. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. Malice is ill will or intention to do evil. Okay? Ill will or intention to do evil. That means you have to lay that aside on purpose. And go in the Scriptures right there and underline that word all, because it does that on several notes right here, but important that you get that you've got to do it all of it, okay? All ill will and all evil intent. Now, I want you to get this because Peter knew as a Christian, even as a Christian, there are times when people and things and issues can creep into your life and all of a sudden they start taking or supplanting the gospel and the Word of God. And all of a sudden, you're thinking about these people or these situations or these issues, and you start to think, boy, when I see him, I'm going to. When I see her, I'm going to. Right? So you're all of a sudden, you're doing that, and you're subtracting from the Word of God or the thinking towards God. Instead of applying the Word of God, you're thinking, what am I going to do to this person? How am I going to react to this person? How am I going to handle this person when I see them? Man, ain't that neat? What does it say? You got to lay all that aside. You know what you got to do? You got to say this. You got to say, you know what, God? Forgive that person. I'm going to try to move on past that person and help me deal with them better every time. But Lord, I'm going to stop planning. God, would that help anybody if you could just stop planning on some people? Just stop plotting and planning. I know we don't do it. I know it's it, but I'm telling you, if I could ever, you know what I mean, just if that one or two, okay, I'm not going to come up with a plan before I see them, all right? Man, wouldn't that be neat? What happens is when you do that, all of a sudden you evacuate some space that God wants to put in your mind and in your heart. Get it? Once you lay that out, once you take that out of your mind, once you take that out of the process, all of a sudden you got this kind of like some gigabytes or some warehouse space for all you ones that's not tech smart. You have warehouse space. That's me. Now I've took some stuff out, I can put some stuff in. Amen. Are y'all good? Laying aside all malice. And he wouldn't have wrote it. Now, sometimes when I'm reading this scripture, if you're like me, sometimes I read the Bible and I read it, I'm like, no, read it. But then I forget, what did I just read, right? This is Peter writing this. He is experienced, and if he's experienced it, we can experience it. If Jesus experienced it, we can experience it, all right? So he walked with Jesus, so he's experienced this, so he's trying to help us. So if it's in here, we can apply it. We can all of a sudden feel like we don't have to feel like we're terrible Christians when we have some of this stuff going on. We just have to lay it out. We just have to lay it off. Get it off of us. Get it out of our minds. Y'all ready for the next one? This is fun. Guile, deceit, all sly or cunning thoughts, deceitfulness, just being deceitful, sly and cunning, just being slick. You know what I mean? I'm going to get my way. I'm going to get my way in this. I'm going to get my way in this. In the ministry, I'm going to get my way in the church. I'm going to get what, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that. And you don't. And you're trying to manipulate. Whew. He said, lay it off. It's possible. It's possible. We don't deal with this. We can move on, right? Hypocrisies. I want to really deal with right here. Having a moral standard that you don't even maintain. When I started thinking about this, you definitely got to go to the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were trying to hold people to a religious standard, right? That you should be in the Sabbath, you should pray this many times, you should fast. They got them to, why don't your disciples fast, Jesus? And why are they eating on the Sabbath, Jesus? And he could have turned around at any time and said, oh yeah, why are you trying to kill me? Right? He did at one time. He said, why are you trying to kill me? And we're like, what are you talking about? We're not trying to kill you. And they ultimately take him before Pontius Pilate and have him put to death on the cross, right? Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Can I write this down because it's really neat? A lot of times hypocrisy is having this high moral standard that you think you're better than everybody else and you tell everybody how great you are while at the same time having something more, as grievous or more grievous than the person you're getting on to. You hear what I'm saying? Can I give y'all something that's really deep? And if I was really, my body was 100% right now, I'd be going bananas on this right here. But I want you to get this because this happens a lot. Some people that are so hypocritical harp on certain things really hard towards people that they really do. That they're guilty of stuff. Amen? You know, somebody that's really, really they get on the women, your makeup, your hair, your this and that, and other, they struggle with that sexual desire in their heart and life. Ooh. Right? Well, you get somebody that just harps and harps. Jesus, who do you think? Okay, because as soon as I say it, everybody kind of shuts down. I'll go back to a different one in the Bible. They got onto Jesus. You're trying to lead all this. You're trying all this power. You're wanting all this control. The reason they were so mad at Jesus, and when they were putting him to death, Pontius Pilate said, the reason you're putting him to death is because you're jealous of his power. Right? So a lot when you deal with hypocrisy, a lot of times the loudest thing they're loud about, usually that's the thing they're doing the worst on. So make that little note. It don't mean the case, but what it is you've got to realize, you've got to rationalize this. Wait a minute. Has this got anything to do with what God wants me to do? If it doesn't, just step to the left or the right of that person and keep going. Man, it's pretty easy to do. They're loud and make a lot of noise, but you, after a while you can't hear them. Man, good. Hypocrisies. Envies. Got to lay outside the envies. We don't have any envy in the church, right? We do. I'm sorry, but we do. You know what? Let me read the definition because I took the time to write it down. Feeling of, I can't even read my own handwriting. When somebody possesses something or has talent or abilities and you're jealous of those things. They might have certain items or they might have certain talents. They might have certain gifts or they might have certain positions and you're jealous of them. Amen? And you can be really jealous of that person because they're in that position and it causes you to want to do things to either tear them down verbally, mentally, emotionally, or whatever the case may be, or you're just mad at them all the time and you begin to hate on them and say things about them and criticize because they're doing probably what you want to do. Amen? But there's a reason why to lay envy aside. There's a reason. And if you're a Christian and you really want to be better, I'm not telling you this stuff. I am not preaching this stuff to you tonight for you to sit down and go, I know somebody like that. I know somebody like that. I'm really preaching this to you tonight where you'll say, I know me like that. Amen? So if you're sitting here like me preaching, you're sitting here going, I know somebody like that. I want you to say, I know, hopefully one or two of these hit you and you say, I know me like that. And I'm going to try to fix this. Amen? Because I can tell you, I can tell you that I've been all these just about, somewhere in ministry or sometime in my Christian walk. All right? So it's easy when we're talking about somebody instead of us. Amen? But I like this right here, this envy. Stop worrying about somebody else doing something else in the kingdom of God that you're not doing, because if you were supposed to be doing it, you would be doing it. Oh, God, that'd be worth the admission of coming here tonight, wouldn't it? We didn't charge anything, but did you hear what I just said? If you see somebody doing something you want to do and you're not doing it yet, just chalk it up to God knows what He's doing. Okay, God, maybe I'm not ready for that position yet. Thank you. Thank you for not putting me in a position to doing something I'm not ready to do yet and I didn't know it. Thank you, because it would be embarrassing to you and me. Are you good? Do y'all want a better one than that one? I'll give you a better one now, because some of you will leave here and you won't write that one down. You're like, that ain't for me, because I'm better than they are. Amen? I'm better than everybody else at that, okay? Okay, all right, so let's say you're better than everybody else at it, okay? This position ain't for you right now, because there's one bigger coming down the line. Oh, you'll write that one down. Hallelujah, praise God, God got me something better. Amen? All right, well, good, God's got something better for you. Either way it goes, God's still in control. You're just not... I remember when I first had a desire to get into full-time ministry. I had a wild desire to get into full-time ministry. I was working a full-time job, and I seen guys getting hired into the ministry, and I was looking at them like, dude, are you serious? Are you serious? I mean, this guy walks up and he says, oh, I'm so-and-so from Ohio, and I was just driving by, and I was wondering if I could get a job in the ministry. Sure, come on in, get a job. I've been volunteering here for 2 years. What are you talking about? Right? I'm being real with you. But you know what it was? Furniture grabber who goes out and gets donations for the furniture stuff. Full-time ministry job. Hallelujah. I'm upset that I ain't got his job. Amen? I didn't need that job. I didn't want that. That's not the job God wanted, designed, or made for me. It's not for me. All I heard was, he's getting hired in the ministry. Man, we can get so envious about stuff that we don't even know nothing about. Amen? I could give you a whole nother look on that too. Somebody, boy, I want that job. I want that position. I want that position. You get that position. And all of a sudden somebody goes, thank God, here, take it, and runs. And all of a sudden you read the back print on it. Well, wait a minute. No, y'all right. I hope y'all understand we ain't even got past verse one yet. And I don't know if I'm preaching or good or if I'm not. I'm kind of trying. How about that? Evil speaking. I'm really struggling with this sometimes. If we want to be real tonight, be careful. Just because you don't curse people, and maybe you're not talking about, you know, all kinds of graphic stuff. Do you know we can really sour our relationship with the Lord and sour our testimony with the Lord by saying some really stupid stuff? And I'm not getting on to you. I want to help you. God says, He says all evil speaking, man. Can I give you all a little something that God's kind of got on the middle about? God says, if you've got to look to your left, your right, He goes, don't say it. That help anybody else on here? If you've got to kind of do this or do that, eat that. Just eat it. And I know some of you right now, and I do the same thing. I mean, you can't have no fun. Yeah, well, I'm just, the difference between fun and evil, I mean, sometimes it's a blurry line, but it's still, if it's evil, it's evil. Yeah, are you tracking with me? Because sometimes we can get in a situation where we're just talking, we're having fun, but you know, really, we're not doing that. We're just being evil, and then the next thing you know, we're trying to be spiritual. And the reason we can't, God, I wish I could. We're trying to pull something spiritual, but God said there's no way that a fountain brings forth salt water and fresh water. He said that's why you're having such a hard time. getting connected with me, because you're not laying any of these aside, and you're trying to pump something out of a bad well. And when somebody sees sewage coming out, it ain't like they're going to come and say, "Can I get a drink? Because I just heard sewage." And if there's a chance that the septic's still running through your lines, I don't want to risk it. Amen? Maybe I need to preach sick more often. Y'all are listening better. Maybe I'm just slower. That's good. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. Let's listen. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Did you see that? Did you see what we did? Did you see what Peter did? I didn't do it. But did you see what Peter did? He told you about the word of God, that it's always going to be there. And he tells you to be desiring of it like a baby after milk. You know what I mean? But there's the meat's in the middle of the sandwich right here. He said, if you'll take all this stuff out, then this is going to come together for you. And if you understand that the Word of God's there for you, and you get hungry for it, but then you take all this other stuff out of your mind and out of your life, then you're going to be filled up with all that good nutrients. Does that make sense? And you know what I mean? Because y'all know some of the young mothers in here right now can tell you the child is hungry for milk, it's all bets off. That kid is going to pitch a fit until they get something to eat. Is that right? But that's how we kind of need to be. Not scratch that last part. That is how we have to be.
Amen.
Okay? You understand? That is how we have to be. We have to pursue God at the same time laying all these things off. And can I tell you is it going to be an easy process? No. And can I tell you this? Can it be a process you're going to have to go through several times in your life? Yeah. And can it be several different aspects of these? You know, maybe it's not one. So, because I mean, some of y'all right now would go, "Well, I don't struggle with that one," or "I don't struggle with two of those." Well, you know, sometimes it can change, right? And next thing you know, you see that thing come up, and all of a sudden, wait a minute. But then it takes us a while to deal with it because that we like it. You know why we like it? Because our old sin nature's there. He still likes that. Now, the spiritual man doesn't. He wars against that. Amen? I hope that's helping you. But as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Right? Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about like as a new... You got to kind of get so used to reading and pursuing God. Now listen, just don't get caught up in the reading part, because I don't care how much content you put in. Put some content in. Amen? Put some content in. Read it as much as you can handle. Amen? But read it and pray over it and ask God to expound on it. And God will. He's faithful. There's still stuff in this book I don't understand. I don't get it all. If I did, I'd be lying to you. But you know, when I run into something I don't understand, I really ask God. I say, "God, will you expound on it?" And then next thing you know, somebody will be preaching on it. Somebody will teach on it. I'll run into something else. And then there's the Bible's the best commentary on the Bible. So then you'll run into some other areas that pulls it more apart. Y'all understand? So you gotta choose to be hungry too. Amen? How many of y'all have ate something when you wanted something else? Amen? That stinks, don't it? That's an adulthood thing, ain't it? I mean, like, all day today, I was, you know, you think Sonic, 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 Sonic. You go home and you eat, you know, a rice, you know, or something, right? Or you go home and eat something normal, you know? I want to go Sonic, I want to go Sonic, Sonic. I'll get this, and I'll get this, and I'll get this. And you're like, I can't go there and do that. It's 12 o'clock in the day, and I'll be in a sugar coma by 2 o'clock, right? I'll be no good. I got to go get my lunch that I prepared and eat it. Right? So sometimes you have to, I want to veg out on, I got to do the Facebook thing, I got to Instagram thing, I got to do the social media thing, I got to do TV, I got to do this, I got to catch up with my team. Well, instead, you got to say, hey, wait a minute, I think I need to make time for God.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
And just open up the Word and get in there. And hey, you, before you know it, and can I tell y'all, the Word of God is like a well. We're not going to get to verse 10. I'm just telling y'all, we're not. So some of y'all right now are kind of looking green in the gills. And y'all are looking at me like, that verse 10's looming, brother. We're not going to make it to 10. So we got a long time. We got as long as we're going to be here. We're going to be doing this on Wednesdays a lot because we need to be better Christians, okay? So we got a long time. Don't worry. But, you know, what was I saying right before I said that? Oh, the word, thank you. The Word of God is like a well. You put it in, like, there was years, like, when I first got saved and I started reading the Bible at work, you know, and I didn't even think I knew anything. And all of a sudden somebody asked me a question, and I answered the question, and I answered it for, like, a minute or two. And they were like, man, you really know a lot about the Bible. And I was like, I know stuff about the Bible. That's cool. You know, and you're walking away and you're like, and then you try to put another thought together and you're like, it's not there. But see, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is the he'll go in there and he'll pull that out when you know it. But you have to have the reservoir in there. You have to have it. So you got to continuously put it in, okay? You got to continuously put it in, all right? I don't know how far we're going to go, but we're going to go as far as we can. Verse 3, if so, oh, this is so good. If so be ye that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Hey, can I do something? Can I do something? Since I'm kind of delirious anyway, can we go back? Let's go back. Can I do one more thing? Because it just hit me and I probably should have. Let's go back up and look at this hypocrisies one more time. Can we do that? Let's just make a note right here. I mean, I want y'all to get this hypocrisy. There's another hypocrisy in the church too. We put a hypocrisy out there that we're okay, that everything in our life's okay. Amen? And that's why a lot of times Christians who come into our church for the first time have a struggle because we make it seem like we've ascended so far up. Amen? We feel like, you might want to write this one down because this is going to have a sting to it. We feel like we make it seem like, just hear me out until you think anything else. We make it seem like there are some big old Christians. That there are some superstar Christians. There are some platform Christians. They're up on the top rung, and then it's like that. Can I tell you something? God loves everybody the same. Now, I'll say it again where you can understand it. God don't have any big Christians. So we need to stop acting like we're big time. We're so much better. We're not. We're saved. And we love Jesus. But then we got to realize Jesus loved us just as much as He loves everybody else. I'm going to preach a message Sunday, Lord willing. I think about that woman who brought her alabaster box of ointment to Jesus. I preached that message probably more times than I preached any other message in the ministry since I've been preaching. I don't know if that's true, but it's a lot. But I see her getting ready, and I think all the time, He's got Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and the 12, He's got the 12 apostles, and He's got other people following Him. He's got a big crowd. Why would He need me? Why would He need me to bring my gift to Him at this time? Doesn't He have someone else who's bigger and better at this than me? Nope. I don't have any bigger and better. There's Jesus, and there's us. That's it. That's it. And that's good. And that's good. I know it don't feel good because sometimes we want to feel like we're Jesus' most favorite special kid. Don't you know I'm Jesus' most special favorite one? And He does love you, but you're not His very special favorite one. We all are. No, I'm telling you, I'm about on the verge of either passing out or preaching hard. I don't know what it is, but he would leave 99 to go get the one. Every time he'll walk out of the pen of 99. And it could all be, we could have been the one out in the wilderness, or we could be the 99 in the pen. And what's good is when we see him go, God, see us. When we see him step over the fence post and head out in the trail looking for the other one, we sit there, should raise our hands and say, thank God he's going to get them. Because when they get here, they're just going to be like us. Y'all feel the Holy Spirit too? Aren't you glad that I went back to that hypocrisy thing? Sometimes as a preacher you think, oh, I've gone too far, I can't go back. But tonight I just don't have any control over this thing. God's good to us, ain't he?
Amen.
Let's go back to verse 3 because this will be a good place to wrap it up, right? Because I like how God does his word. He said, if so, when you see an if in the Bible, there's two ifs. There's two kind of ifs. There's if, there's one that's going to be right over the banner. There's going to be a banner that's stretched over hell when you walk in it, and it's going to be if right above it. Not really. Some of y'all are like, I don't want to talk to him about this after church. The banner should be there because everybody who ends up in hell eventually in their lifetime would say, if you're Jesus or if you're God. And man, they never believed. And every time the devil tested Jesus, he said, if you be, right? So there's that if, and there's another if. When the Bible puts an if on something, but it's for a disciple or a believer, the if is there to put some emphasis. It makes you question whether it's happened to you or not. It's kind of an examination whether you be in the faith or not. All right? Is that good? Let's read this. If, that means, hey, has this happened to you? If, right? If, is this going on in your life? If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that? I have. And it tastes good. It's an experience and a fulfilling. Amen. It's an experience and a great feeling. Amen. Listen, I have tasted the grace of God and it tastes good. Woo, what a feeling. Amen? I'm telling you, it's an amazing feeling. Amen? There's times, whew, that you can't explain the feeling. And I'd like to tell you about the times I've shouted, and the times I've ran, and the times I've praised, and the time I've sung. I got to tell you the times I've gotten an altar and laid in the floor and prayed. But the best times have been just me and Jesus. And me in the most vulnerable places I've ever been. And saying, God, I still love you. And I still trust you. And I ain't going nowhere. And to feel him come down and say, I ain't either. I ain't either. I ain't either. Amen? That's the feeling that it feels good, but I've experienced him when it didn't feel good. It was just good. Amen? Let's all stand. I'm going to ask Scott to come get us on. If God's been...